Our Old Testament reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from Philippians chapter 1. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard, to all the rest, that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit and one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made us equal to them, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace. Christ, Amen. As we've been walking through the gospel according to Matthew this summer, we've noted three different types of passages. They're the long sermons, the discourses of Jesus. These were the concentrated teaching portions that either summarize a bunch of what had happened or lay a conceptual framework for what Jesus knows is about to happen. Over the last 2 weeks, in Matthew 18, we finished the fourth of five of those sermons, the church discourse. And unlike the Sermon on the Mount, which introduced the kingdom of heaven, I think Peter's question of how much to forgive and Jesus' answers are something of a summary. When Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like the parable of the unmerciful servant, this is a summary of how the church is to act towards each other. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Which means that chapter 19, which our lectionary skips, is the start of something new. And I think you have to pair the interactions of 19 with real people with this parable that is our text. If we understand these pairings, it'll probably offend our modern mores, or at least challenge them. If Professor Jonathan Haidt is right about most of us, who he calls the weird, the Western, educated, industrial, rich, and democratic, the foundation of our ethics, our morality, is limited to a sense of care harm backed up by our intuitions of fairness. He also highlights four other dimensions that people can base personal ethics on, but for our shared public morality, care, fairness. Elements of loyalty, authority, sanctity, and liberty may be used individually, but they aren't shared. We're all in favor of equal opportunity, fairness. We don't all agree that our current level of inequality is an offense against liberty, demanding the most draconian of actions. We're all in favor of mothers and babies getting all the care that they need. We don't all agree that life is sacred, sanctity, which would rule out abortions. Professor Haidt's theory is a secular one, but I think that right now it carries a lot of explanatory power. We share care and fairness, but we fight bitterly about how to achieve those because we differ dramatically in other dimensions. I share that moral framework because our public care and fairness smash up against Jesus in Matthew 19 and 20. The core interaction in Matthew 19 is Jesus talking with the rich young man. The man is clearly a sensitive soul. He would line up well with the modern do well by doing good crowd, or your best life now crowd. And he takes Jesus, and he asks Jesus, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And Jesus steps him through the basics. You know the law, do these. But the man responds, I have. But I still feel like I lack something. What is it? At this, Jesus tells him to go sell everything and give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. That demand from Jesus is outrageously unfair. Beyond unfair, in modern human terms, it's probably uncaring. As the disciples pick up on it, as their prized recruit walks away sad, Jesus tells them it's very difficult for a rich person to enter the kingdom. Not fair at all. Doesn't he care? And they're surprised at this, because it's contrary to every instinct that we have. We naturally look at the person with money and that status as the one who has earned the favor of God. And the disciples ask in astonishment, if not this one, then who can be saved? And Jesus' answer is the promise. With God, all things are possible. If you've given up something for my name's sake, you will receive 100-fold and eternal life. But that promise is connected to the saying, the first will be last and the last first. What our parable also ends with. Our natural understanding of fairness and care just are not God's. God's care for the rich young man demanded that he give it all away. It was the money that was standing in his way of fully trusting God. God's care for all of his children is different, not fair by our means. And it's based solely upon his authority. He's God, and we aren't. That interaction with the rich young man leads into the parable. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It has a master who owns a vineyard. And the master goes out early in the morning to get laborers for his vineyard. The master of the vineyard promises the workers a fair day's wage, a denarius. They won't get it until the day is over. It's a promise. But they have faith in this owner, and they report to the vineyard. But this vineyard owner is still looking for workers. Let's take that first group at 6 a.m. He's there at 9, and he's there at noon, and he's there at 3, and again at 5 p.m. The vineyard owner's care covers the entire time that it's possible to work. And he promises all of them his fairness. You go. And whatever is right, I'll give you. Now, I think most of the parables are stories about the main character. They tell us something about God. What is God's caring like? He's always present, looking for workers for the vineyard. But there are occasional bits of interaction, and this one with the 11th hour workers is meaningful. Because if you ask us, what are these guys hanging out at the 11th hour all about? We'd probably answer, laziness. They arrived late, they didn't really want to work, they didn't trust some of the offers that they probably had, they really were playing the perfect off against the good. That's not none of the interaction that we see here. Why did you stand here idle all day? The master asks. They answer, nobody hired us. Which makes the interesting fact about this to me, not that they weren't hired, but that they were still there. At 5 p.m., looking for work, hoping against hope that somebody would give them something, some scrap. The world would never do that. But this master, you too, you who sought fruitlessly all day, without finding. You go to the vineyard. So, one of our main complaints about God is that it often seems like He isn't there, or He doesn't care. The old God is a trespasser against our morality of care. Yet what Jesus says is that God's care is always present. The offer to go to the vineyard is always there. From sun up to the last rays of light. But God's care comes to us in the form of a call. Go to work in the vineyard. You'll get paid. Have faith. At the end of the day, all will be made well. But right now, the care is in the work. The care is the call to pick up your cross and follow. It might be strange to hear care as a call to work and a call to the cross, but God's fairness is even stranger. At the end of the day, when no more work can be done, He pays everyone the same. Everyone gets a full day's wage. The last go first. And so when the first see that those who showed up at 5 o'clock are getting a full day's pay, they start to value their work higher and higher. But as the first go last and get the day's wage, they're upset. Unfair. I worked the entire day. My neck is red and burned. My muscles are sore. My back is bent. And you made me the same as those who barely broke a sweat. And the owner's response is twofold. First, I've done what I promised. I'm faithful in my covenant with you. Whatever you have been promised, God has paid out fully. Second, the owner can do what he wants. And we should be exceedingly happy about this because this owner is gracious. Worldly owners that we know might default on their promises. There are reasons that the law of Moses and a lot of other ancient laws include stipulations about paying workers because they would often get stiffed. The wages would be withheld and then they would be absconded with. Tricky stewards would cook the books. But the owner of this vineyard was faithful. What is promised is delivered. And beyond mere faithfulness, this owner is gracious. He gives out what is not deserved. Crying about fairness in the face of grace is trespassing both the master's authority and loyalty or solidarity with all those of us who are undeserving. As Luther's final words have it, we are all beggars. Our loyalty is not the pious work alone, but in that large fellowship of grace. The call of Jesus Christ is the same today as it was in 30 AD. It's the same on your deathbed as it is at that baptismal font. Have faith that the Father is faithful to His covenants. He's called you out of darkness into His light. He's sent His only Son to secure your spot. And just as He has called and gathered you, He will sanctify and He will keep you. The Lord is faithful. God's care is given to us not through giving us everything that our sinful hearts desire or catering only to our temporal needs, but God's care is His faithfulness to all of His creation, to our true needs, to our eternal needs. Likewise, that call is the same in that it's not a covenant of works, but it's one of grace. Because the promise is wholly undeserved. The promise, the day's wage, is eternal life. God doesn't limit himself to fairness. If God limited himself to fairness, we would all be going to hell. Hell, as Dante has it, is extremely fair. The punishment always fits the crime. But the kingdom of heaven is about grace, that the full number might come in, because that pleases the Lord. Our work, our day of labor, our day of the cross, far from being seen as unfair or uncaring, is the joy. I get to work for the vineyard. And I will get to work for this vineyard forever. Today, that work is under the cross. Today, we bear the heat of the day. Tomorrow, the sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb, in the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water. Choose who you work for carefully. The world promises care and fairness, but it never seems to deliver either. The Lord has proven over and over again his eternal care. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. And he's proven beyond fairness his grace, opening his vineyard to sinners. You go and work in the vineyard. Amen.